Welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Brauner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Again, this is Mike Brauner from Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. We're thankful to be able to be back to the radio station once again today and have what we consider another God-given opportunity. We might come this way and try to bring a message from the Word of God. I sincerely appreciate everyone who's tuned in. I do truly appreciate those of you who pray for us. We ask that you continue to pray, not only for us, but pray for this work, that it would be such that God would be pleased to bless it and use it. Because we believe that in serving God and trying to do the things the Lord would have for us to do, that those are those things which truly are the most beneficial to those who that may come in contact with the work. I believe, as the Apostle Paul stated when he was explaining to the Corinthians, the work that he and the man Apollos, the other laborer for the Lord there, he mentioned, described that they are co-laborers together with God. But in describing themselves as co-laborers, he pointed out that he sowed and Apollos watered, but it's God who gave the increase. And with that in mind, he let it be known that neither he who sowed nor he who watered were anything, but the one who was something to pay special attention to, and the truly important one who did the important work in the work was not the one who sowed nor the one who watered, but the one who gave the increase. Therefore, in doing and realizing that that one is God, in doing the things that would be pleasing to God, that is the most beneficial thing, because that'll be what He'll bless and give the increase to. So pray for the work, indeed, and I ask you that you pray frequently for it and pray for us, because we know we need the Lord's help in everything. I think again about the Apostle Paul writing to the Romans when he made mention of himself, and he said that he knew within him, that was in his flesh, dwelt no good thing. For to will was present with him, but how to do those things which that he truly wanted to do, he didn't find that within himself. So he needed the Lord's help, and he had to look to the Lord, and many times he thanked those who that he wrote to in the churches. He thanked them for their prayers that they offered up for him. And I believe that we help each other and support each other greatly when we're willing to pray for each other. So pray for us. We need the Lord's help. We have been trying to take up some points relating to topics along the subjects that were found in the Scriptures, and there has been a lot of work that has been done trying to explain what the Scriptures teach. And one of those frequently used examples of things which are used to share what we find the Bible teaches is called the Articles of Faith. The ones which we have been addressing come from what's called the 18 Articles of Faith. These were collected back in the the first half of the 1800s. And in the first half of the 1800s, these were put together to help express just a common basic principles of faith. So we've been taking these up. The article which we're looking at currently is one called Justification. More specifically, it's called Of Justification. And we'd like to have prayer, and then after prayer, we'll like to try to take up some points regarding this subject of justification. We like to go to the Lord in prayer, and then after we pray, we'll try to take up these thoughts. We just remind everyone that when that you consider these thoughts and consider these topics, sometimes you like to come back and consider in more detail the things which have been shared, and you can do that. You can do that by coming to the website, which has not only the written materials, but then also these audio files. And that website that contains this information is found at fisherofmenbaptistic.com. That's Fisher of Men Baptistic, and that's all one word, Baptist, like Baptist with the IC on the end, .com. And anything you find on that site, that is totally free, and you're more than welcome to use and share that in whichever way that the Lord may lead. Let us go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll try to take up our thought. So let us pray. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for your rich blessings you extend toward us through thy Son, Christ Jesus. We ask you, Father, to forgive us our sins. Forgive us our shortcomings. Strengthen us and help us, Lord, that we would be such throughout that would be truly pleasing to thee. And guide us and help us, knowing, Lord, that the intents truly may be of a sort that's good and right, but the way to do and the means to do those things come from God. We pray, Father, that you continue your long-suffering mercy toward us, that as a people we would be ever better laborers for thee, our Father, being such as to be helpful to those whom we encounter, and deliver us from those things which that entangle and cause those works and labors to be that's not truly helpful or beneficial to those whom we come in contact with. We are thankful again, Lord, for soul salvation and thankful for guidance of the Spirit of God. We pray, Father, for those who are sad and lonely, for the needy. Pray for those who are encountering such many sad circumstances. And pray, Father, for the comfort of those who are distressed member families who've given up their loved ones. And pray, God, that in their time of comfort that there would be a great acknowledgement that all of us truly are heading toward that time when we must cross from the existence of being here in time over into an existence in eternity. And pray, God, that there would be a great preparation, yea, a great door of opportunity opened, that those who are lost might be prepared. We pray, God, again for those who are lost, that eyes would be open, and that, Lord, there'd be a clear understanding of the condition of souls that have not been saved. Those who are such might turn to God and seek and find the great water of life which comes through Christ Jesus. We pray, God, again for the church, that you'd bless her, help her that she'd overcome complacency, that she would be ever better a servant to thee, and be such, Lord, that you'd guide the born again to unite thereunto. Pray for those who you've called out to share the word of God. We pray that you'd continue to call out brethren to this work and bless them, that they'd be not hindered nor entangled with the things of this world. We pray, God, again for our country, that you'd help her. Grant her, Lord, that she would be such that you would be pleased to bless, and guide her, though she resists your guidance often. But grant her guidance that she would indeed turn in the way that is good and right in your sight. Help us to know how to be a supporter of those who might be in leadership positions who would take steps in those directions. We realize that you see far more than we're able to understand. In your great mercy, we ask you to help us that we might live a life of peace and godliness, and live such, Lord, that truly that this life would be a very pattern of those things which that makes life truly worth living in the sight of God. Oh, Father, take and bless now. We know we fail to ask many things, but fail not to grant, for we seek all these blessings and favors in Christ Jesus' name. For his name's sake we do pray. Amen. As we had said earlier, we've taken up some thoughts along the lines of the topic of justification. We'd like to read what this article says. And as we read this, we have tried to point out before that we do not read this and then go to try to find scriptures to prove it, but we have studied scriptures, and from study of the scriptures, we find the scriptures teach a certain thing. This is part of what we find the scriptures to teach. We believe that the great gospel blessing which Christ secures to such as believe in him is justification. That justification includes the pardon of sin, and that the promise of eternal life on principles of righteousness, that it is bestowed not in consideration of any works of righteousness which we have done, but solely through faith in the Redeemer's blood, by virtue of which faith his perfect righteousness is freely imputed to us of God, that it brings us into a state of most blessed peace and favor with God, and secures every other blessing needful for time and eternity. This is what we believe about justification. Rather than trying to take up a hasty consideration of this topic, we'd like to begin with the first two parts mentioned. The first two parts mentioned in this article reads this: we believe that the great gospel blessing which Christ secures to such as believe in him is justification. With the time we might have remaining, we'll try to read some scriptures helping us see this point. And we'll begin over in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 13, we'll start reading verse 26. And here is one of the great examples in the scriptures of the brethren standing and delivering a message about Christ, and Christ being crucified, but not left crucified. Christ crucified and raised from the dead is the message. And in him we find that there is justification, and without him we find there is no justification. Let's consider this portion of God's word by reading some of these scriptures and then taking up the thought. Then reading from Acts chapter 13, verse 26, we find it written. This is a historical account of as the man, the Apostle Paul, stood and spoke. And as he spake, here is what he said: Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him, that is, in condemning Christ. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen of many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he saith on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore saith he also in another Psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Well, the mistakes we may have made, this gives us a reading lesson out of the Acts of the Apostles. We've read out of Acts chapter 13, began with verse 26 and read down through verse 39. Considering these points, we notice, again, how that is being declared, not only to the generation that the Apostle Paul was standing there and speaking to, but this message is a timeless message. It stands firm today, just as this message was delivered to this people and these glad tidings were shared with them. So it continues on and is shared with us today, that to us we should know that God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, into this world. That when He came into this world, God had spoke of Him. He had prophecy written down and had it declared before Christ came, how that when He did come, that He would go and fulfill all the requirements of righteousness for mankind. And that at the time appointed, He, having fulfilled all of these good and right things required of man, that He would be put to death guiltlessly, without guilt. So therefore God raised Him from that death. Christ, having tasted a death but never deserving it, God was fully just in raising Him from the dead. Being raised thus from the dead, we find that Christ is the justifier of all mankind, and He is the only one in the place who can be the justifier of all mankind. Therefore, all mankind are called upon to look to Him to find justification, and it is going to be, we will be held accountable for how we respond to this message of glad tidings. Such an act of love, such an act of free will offering on our behalf, to be ignored is criminal. For us to ignore that, it is a high crime. So in Christ we find justification, and outside of Christ there is no justification. We notice how the scriptures here tell us that speaking of the law of Moses, the law which describes which is good and what is good and right, and defines sin for us, sets it before us. These scriptures tell us that by Christ all that believe are justified from all things from which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. The law tells us what's good and right. He tells us what's wrong. What is sin. But through that law, that letter, we find there's no justification. However, in Christ, who upheld every part of that law, we find justification. We find another thought from the Word of God, which helps us see that indeed, that justification comes through Christ. Now, over in the book of the Gospel of John, now in the Gospel of John, in the first chapter, we notice, speaking of Jesus, it says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, this is John the Baptist, bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Of the grace of Christ, we have received grace. Because of His willingness, His free willingness to do and undergo what He did and underwent, because of His grace, we have received grace. Because of His willingness, the door of grace was opened unto us. For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And it's declared freely to us. It's declared in the resurrection, in knowing that Christ did not see corruption. That is, when we pass away, we realize that this body, when after the life leaves the body, and the body that remains, it does not continue in its state, but it starts to see corruption, or we say it deteriorates. The body starts going back to the dust of the earth. And in that deterioration process, there's a corruption there in that. Christ did not endure that corruption because he was raised from the dead before that corruption could set in on his actual body. He was put to death by being nailed to a tree. And he tasted of that death, his life leaving that body. But in the resurrection, he was reunited with that body. And when he presented himself and showed the piercings in his hands and the piercings in his side. It was this body, the same body that he had bore, and the body that had been abused and had been nailed to that awful cross. That body was taken down, placed into a tomb, and on the third day, when the stone was rolled away, it was found, it was discovered that God reunited the body with the very soul of Christ. And in that union, we have the resurrected Savior, the one who even now reaches out unto us, beckoning that we would believe upon Him, because in Him is justification from all things, from which we could not be justified by any law. And therefore, through Him, we can find justification, He reaching out and beckoning unto us, even in this moment. We think about Isaiah chapter 53, speaking of what Christ endured. Beginning in verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him." That is, God the Father, it pleased that His Son would be bruised. Not that God would have to experience it and would enjoy seeing his only begotten Son go through it, but because God is love, and God would have all men to come to repentance. He'd have none to perish, but all to come to repentance. In this way, God would be justified in freely counting us justified. He would be justified in counting us right if we would put all of our trust in this one, in His Son. So because of that, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering from sin, He shall see His seed, He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. And indeed, Christ's days were prolonged in the resurrection, He being resurrected to die no more. He continueth ever. We think about verse 11, "He shall see the travail of His soul, and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because He hath poured out His soul unto death, and He was numbered with the transgressors. And He bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." So by by Christ, His righteous servant, shall He justify many. Why? Because He has borne our iniquities. The iniquities, the things which that was laid upon Christ, wasn't things which He is guilty of, but what we were guilty of. He bore those things away for us, and in us, or in Him, because of Him bearing those things and bearing them away from us, we can find deliverance from them by full faith in Him. Thank God for justification in Christ. Therefore, it makes us think about over in the book of Ephesians, thinking about the great justification that is in Christ Jesus. Words truly seem to escape our minds in trying to reach out and truly put thoughts to words, put words to thoughts, that we might get a clear vision of what it is that we find in Christ. Thinking about verse 7, the Apostle Paul speaking of how God sent him forth to declare this wonderful message, as we read in the reading lesson, of this message that Paul stood and declared there on that occasion. Here he's referring to part of that in Ephesians chapter 3. As we start with verse 7, Paul says, "Wherefore, I was made minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." You think about free justification. You think about how God will pardon us because we put all of our faith in Christ. Think about how unsearchable those riches are. What? You just put all your faith in Christ. You cast all of your thoughts about how good you are. You cast those down. And you come humbling yourself before God and saying, seeking acceptance, seeking Him to accept you because you believe. You put all your trust in this one, in Christ. Think about how unsearchable those riches are. And I'll tell you, salvation in the Scripture, soul salvation, is counted a gift. It's the gift of righteousness. It is the gift of God. And I'm going to tell you, that gift is a rich gift. There are unsearchable riches in that gift. And when you receive it, when you truly get a drink of the water of life in soul salvation, you find indeed a richness beyond anything that you could take gold or silver and collect and try to offer for it. Gold and silver becomes just worthless by comparison when you get that rich gift. As incredible as that may sound, it's true. It is true. I think about over in the book of Romans and in chapter 3. Now, Romans and in chapter 3, beginning in verse 21, we notice again this same principle about where we stand compared to where Christ stands. Thinking about verse 21, speaking again about how this law, the law of good and evil, the law of what is right, comes down to this. It says, and we're going to have to read through this as time slips away from us, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation," that is, the peacemaker. Friend, when you find soul salvation, you'll know what kind of peace it's talking about. "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." There is great peace in finding soul salvation. And that peace is because of being justified. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what Christ did for us. And we placing all of our faith in Him, God, can grant us the unsearchable riches found in the gift of God in soul salvation. Hope something's been brought out, it's been helpful. If so, be careful to thank the Lord for that. Remember what we're speaking of here is justification, and these verses come together to help us to see that we believe that the great gospel blessing which Christ secures to such as believe in Him is justification. I hope everyone tuned in can relate to a time when that they found that state that Christ bestowed that. They found that in Christ. They found that in Him. And if you haven't, I know you can if you put all your trust in Him, even at this moment. Thank you for tuning in. Pray God would richly bless you and yours. Pray for us. We'll be careful to pray for you again. This is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.